Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday. So I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
To be honest, my feet today are hurting a lot. My right ankle is, I think I've twisted it or something.
All right, let's go. I am fascinated by the ancient spiritual practice of pilgrimage. At the start of 2020, I launched this podcast to chat about following Jesus on the journey of life. But with one thing or another, most of these conversations have been remote rather than on a physical journey. Well, that changed in August when my brother and I undertook the 180-mile pilgrimage from Iona in the west of Scotland to St Andrews in the east, following in the footsteps of 6th-century missionary St Columba. This is episode 2 in a 3-part series documenting that pilgrimage. At the end of episode 1, we had just completed the first leg of the journey on the Isle of Mull. Okay, it's 7:20 on Saturday the 8th of August, and we've just had a lovely fish and chip dinner, haven't we? That was pretty special. Yeah. We're in Oban, which is it Oban or Oban?
Oban. I don't know.
Which is a lovely seaside town on the coast. So we've just got the ferry from Mull. And we are now starting the next leg of the pilgrimage, which is the cross-country section. So we're feeling excited to be beginning that. We're feeling pretty tired as well. You know, the Isle of Mull has been pretty full-on, and you can listen to why that was in the previous episode of the podcast. But really now we're pressing on with the crossing of Scotland. Right, where are we going? Do you know?
I think this is the
path. Oh, sweet. So we're just trying to find our way onto the path to begin this thing. And then we're going to do about 2 hours of hiking tonight and find a nice place to camp. And then job's a good one. So how are you feeling at this point, Thomas?
Yeah, okay. Got quite a lot of blisters on my feet, I think, so I am hobbling a bit. Might have to take a rest day tomorrow, but we'll see how we go. Looking forward to getting started. Kind of feels like we're really on the walk now, you know. It's a home straight to St Andrews.
It's the home straight. We've got so far to go.
It's a long distance.
We've got 140 miles to do or something.
No ferry journeys or anything. It's like just walking now.
True.
So
it
kind of
just walking between us.
Feels quite continuous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Hokey dokey, it's Sunday. Sunday the 9th of August, and it's another day in paradise. It's beautiful. It's so nice today. The sun is beating down. We had a lovely place to camp last night. We were a little bit worried, weren't we, at one point, that we weren't going to find a place to camp.
Yeah.
There was a lot of private land, but then we said a little prayer, and 5 minutes later this patch opened up, which was perfect, really, out of the wind. Oh no, was it? It was slightly in the wind, wasn't it?
Yeah. So good for midges,
but not kind of crazily blustery, and yeah, nice and flat turf, so yeah, that was good. And
We did consider today taking a rest day because Thomas's feet are a bit blistered, aren't they? But you're feeling a bit better today.
A little bit better. They still hurt quite a bit, but I think we're kind of going to do a slightly easier day. We started walking at 10, a bit later, and we'll probably stop around 3, so that'll be nice. Just give them a bit more time to relax.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a Sunday today, so I think it would be nice for us to make camp maybe about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we can do our own service with some sort of Bible readings and whatnot, which would be fun. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe today it would be good to talk a little bit about St. Columba, who is this... I mean, Thomas, how much do you know about this this fella?
A little bit.
A little bit. Okay, well, I'll give you a kind of potted history of St. Columba, because I, on the train journey up here, listened to a bunch of podcasts about him, so I'm obviously now an expert. I'm really not. But I will do my best to fill in some detail about this guy. So he was an Irish missionary, I guess you'd call him. He grew up in Ireland, but then was actually involved in a... before that, so he came from quite a wealthy background, quite a rich family, but chose the life of, you know, becoming a man of the cloth, and, sort of gave everything away and lived a very simple life, a sort of monastic life. And fairly early in his career, he was involved in a copyright dispute, which kind of sounds strange. You know, he was a 6th century monk, but he basically, sort of copied someone's manuscript, someone's religious manuscript, and fobbed it off as his own, or said that, you know, he was allowed to do that. The other guy was sort of saying, you know, you can't do that.
Plagiarism.
Basically plagiarism. And, I don't know the full details, but it led to a really... It was a huge deal. The King of Ireland got involved, and there was actually a battle fought over this dispute in which several thousand people were killed. And St. Columba was just Columba at this point, was obviously very... felt very guilty about this, I think, and felt like he had to do something to make up for it. And there was talk at one point that he'd be excommunicated, but in the end the church just decided to exile him to Scotland. So he traveled to Scotland, and he landed on Iona with 12 other Christians and founded the abbey at Iona, where we started this hike, and then was involved in a huge amount of missionary work in Scotland itself, especially with a people group called the Picts, who were found really in the east of Scotland and in the northeast. That was the area that he was focusing on. So his pilgrimage and the kind of the route that we're sort of walking right now would have been to go from Iona in the west across the country to the Pictish lands in the east. All right, we have just bumped into two fellow hikers walking the opposite direction, Anna and Luca, and they have come from St. Andrews, which is our destination. So this is awesome. Are we the first people that you've met who have been doing this whole kind of journey from Iona to St. Andrews?
You are, absolutely. We were expecting to meet more people, as you suggested, you thought you might as well. And even the hosts where we've been staying haven't heard of St. Columba's Way.
Wow.
So it's wonderful to be on your own in this beauty and in this...
Yeah.
Whether it's sunny...
I'm glad I stopped and asked, where are you going to?
Absolutely. So I guess you can give us some tips on what's to come for the remainder of the journey. What would your advice be as we head into this part of the pilgrimage?
Rain, sunshine.
Well, my advice would be to put one foot in front of the other, and as the song goes, and walk with love, and be where you are. So don't be saying we've got to get to somewhere else. Be present where you are, because that's where presence is, presence of God is. And that's the place where life opens up, I think.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. It's awesome. And I hope you get to Iona without the rain coming on and, make it safely there. Bless you. All right. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to meet you too.
Nice to meet you. It's 8 p.m. and a lot's happened today. It feels like it's been a day of two halves. Mm. I think back to when we met Anna and Luca. That seems like a long time ago now. This morning was awesome. So beautiful. And most of this afternoon was as well. But Thomas, do you want to just fill us in on what's happened kind of since then?
Yeah, so basically we wanted to try and stop at kind of 3-ish and find a site just so we could kind of rest our feet a bit. And then we found a kind of a rough place at 3, but it was quite far from water. So we thought, okay, we'll keep going. And then we walked for quite a few miles and there wasn't anywhere. And we ended up walking a lot longer than expected. And it's now about, we were putting the tent up like, 6, 7-ish. It's not the best site. It's far from water. Well, we can't find any water, so we're going to have to pick some up tomorrow. I think we're going to do a rest day tomorrow and stay here, send someone to get water. It's a bit of a shame because I think we were hoping for a kind of laid-back afternoon, but we ended up walking. We covered quite a lot of the route that we weren't expecting to, but it's weird, isn't it? You can't really plan too much.
I think that place we found at 3, really, in retrospect, we should have gone there, shouldn't we? But
yeah,
it's easy to think these things in retrospect, but hey ho, we've found a place, we've got a place to stay tonight, and just thankful for that. And I think what I am learning through this pilgrimage is that you become so thankful for just the small things, like a place to put your tent, that's not on private land. That becomes like that becomes a significant event, We were looking for the last few hours for that and we just couldn't find it. So, kind of happy to be here, and we're just going to have some, we don't have any, like Thomas says, don't have any running water. So it's going to be sandwiches for dinner tonight. I might have jam sandwiches because I had peanut butter for lunch, just to keep it a little bit varied.
Oh, you cheeky boy. It's a rest day. And we're just sitting here in the sun near Tainault.
Sorry. That's it. That's going in. I like that. You've said it all. It is a rest day. We're resting our feet today because we both have blisters. And, Thomas has got... You've got significant blisters, which you're about to pop. Is that right?
Basically just one massive blister. I look like bubble wrap.
I've got fewer blisters, but there's one... That one on my big toe is horrible. Oh, yeah, and my ankle is hurting a little bit.
Yeah. So, it's better than yesterday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But we felt like it was wise to take a day just to chill by the tent. So we'll be sleeping here again tonight, and we're in this beautiful place, this village called Tainault, and we're on this hill surrounded by sheep and butterflies, and we've got a beautiful view out over mountains which kind of recede into the distance and get fainter and fainter as they get further away. And we've just been sitting here and I've just been reflecting on this idea that is in a lot of Celtic Christianity, this idea of thin places. And that was something that St. Columba would have been very aware of, this idea of a thin place where the distance between heaven and earth almost seems to narrow and become thin. And you almost have this sort of sense of heaven touching earth. And Iona, where we started this pilgrimage just a few days ago, feels much longer really, but just a few days ago, is one of these kind of quite well documented thin places. And just sitting here in this field right now, I'm personally, don't know about you, Thomas, but I'm getting a sense of that as well. The beauty of nature and of heaven breaking in. I just want to read this prayer of Saint Columba that I've found, which is really talking about Iona and his experience of Iona being a thin place. So let me read that now. Let me bless Almighty God, whose power extends over sea and land, whose angels watch over all. Let me study sacred books to calm my soul. I pray for peace, kneeling at heaven's gates. Let me do my daily work, gathering seaweed, catching fish, giving food to the poor. Let me say my daily prayers, sometimes chanting, sometimes quiet, always thanking God. Delightful it is to live on a peaceful isle, in a quiet cell, serving the King of Kings. What do you think of that?
That's very nice, isn't it? I wonder why he gathered seaweed.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe to eat. Mm. It's quite tasty, isn't it, if you fry it up?
Yeah, maybe he ran a sort of Chinese takeaway.
Tuesday the 11th of August, and we wake up to the delightful sound of rain on the tent, which just fills our hearts with joy, doesn't it, Thomas?
Oh, yeah.
It's about 6 p.m. and Thomas is just trying to find a good campsite for us tonight. I'm just staying with the stuff. I'm on the side of a tiny road in beautiful weather. I mean, today honestly has been such a strange day. It started chucking it down. The first few hours of our hiking this morning were pretty wet, but it's just opened up to be this amazing boiling hot day, and we've been sweating a lot, and but it's just been beautiful weather. We were walking alongside Loch Awe for most of today, and it's just incredible. It was like the French Riviera or something. It was sort of glistening in the sun. So beautiful. And I'm now, I'm just sitting outside a place called Dalmally, surrounded by huge, huge mountains. Really some of the biggest, I think, that we've seen on this trip so far. There's a few Highland cattle just over to my right as well. And beyond them, there's a big stone Celtic cross, and we've seen a few of those today. We saw another one at a place called St. Conan's Kirk, which we sort of stumbled across, and it was just this amazing church that was designed by someone called Walter Douglas Campbell. And you go into it and it looks like this really old, almost medieval church, but it was actually created in the 20th century largely, and it was using lots of different architectural styles. So it has Celtic, Saxon, Gothic Revival elements, and sort of little hidden gems all the way through the church. It was really intricately designed and just a beautiful, beautiful spot. And we enjoyed spending a bit of time there in the cool of that church. And we also then got a pub lunch in just a pub down the road from that church. And that was really nice. That was our first kind of, I guess our first, pub meal, big meal like that. We've got quite used to eating just pretty basic stuff, frankfurters and buns and pasta pesto, you know, pretty simple stuff. But it was so nice to have a big meal. I had a burger. Thomas had a sort of big chicken Caesar salad. Very nice. So doing all right. To be honest, my feet today are hurting a lot. My right ankle is, I think I've twisted it or something. I think maybe on the first full day on Mull, and it was just such a, that first day was so kind of full on, and we were up and down and through boggy terrain, and the footing was not stable at any point. And I think quite a few points I sort of thought, oh, that didn't feel particularly comfortable. You know, I came down with a bit of a thud or foot leg twisted into a slightly odd position. And I've been aware of this slight problem with my ankle over the last few days, and just today it's just like flared up. And I haven't really said to Thomas how bad it is, because I don't want to, you know, dampen his spirits, but we may well have to take another rest day at some point. Right, it's the next day, and it's that time in the afternoon, sort of late afternoon, where we are starting to try and find our campsite for the evening. And today, I think I've just realised what a big task this is. I was just saying to Thomas that I think I went into this trip with a bit of naivety, maybe quite a lot of naivety, as to how hard it would be. I mean, at the end of the day, we are crossing an entire country, and 180 miles doesn't necessarily sound like that much, but when you're covering the kind of terrain we're covering and just doing it every single day, it really starts to take a toll. And I think both of us have found that our bodies are taking a bit of a toll today, especially. I mean, my ankle, I'm really pleased today, is much better. I can still feel it. It's sort of still quite painful, but not the... I'm not limping like I was yesterday. How are you faring, Thomas? I think you're maybe not faring so well.
Yeah, no, okay. My feet are a bit sore. I think a lot of the blisters popped, so that's made it a bit better. Had quite a few ticks on me, actually.
Yeah, you've been very, very unlucky with that.
Yeah, been plucking a lot of them out. Luckily, caught them before they'd taken too much blood. They've all been very small. None of them have kind of swollen to the size of golf balls, so... Yeah, not doing too bad. But.
And your right arm is covered in bites from midges. We think that's just that one time where we pitched in a very sheltered part of Mull, and we got absolutely swarmed by midges in the evening, and especially in the morning as we were packing down the tent. And I think maybe we both just got bitten, but you seem to have got really badly bitten on your right arm, weird, which is strange.
And I think also the heat, it's... I mean, it's lovely, isn't it? We were expecting a lot more rain than this, but...
Today especially has been...
Today's been really hot, so it is quite exhausting to walk in, but it's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, today, Thomas, is a bit of a milestone, isn't it, for the pilgrimage, because it marks the 1 week... anniversary, I guess, of starting this thing. It's a week ago today that we were looking out over Iona, sitting on Mull, having done, well, a few miles to get there, but none of the actual route. And we're now a week in. Do you have any sort of reflections at this point on what you've been learning, being out in the wilderness, camping, and oh, look at that heron!
Oh wow! Wow, that's grey heron there.
What other colours would they be?
Well, that's the species of heron.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry, that was a very snide remark.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that. I thought all herons were grey.
No, no.
Just shows my...
Grey heron's the sort of common one we get in the UK.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge.
It's a big chappy.
So, yeah, what have you been learning?
I was saying today, wasn't I, that the digital detox effect of being... in the wild for so long. And it's great because I think we spend so much time on screens nowadays. And, you know, don't get me wrong, me in particular, because I love movies and I love making movies. So a lot of what I do is on a laptop and stuff. So I love that, you know, sort of creating stuff on the computer. But the actual being on a computer and emails and everything, I do find it... I don't know, there's just so much of it nowadays. So to have a period where there's literally none of that, you know, we literally can't check our emails.
There's no signal, is there?
There's no signal. And it's been really good. Because I think we live in a culture now, don't we, where we kind of, people expect like immediate responses. And we kind of all perpetuate that because we all, you know, if you check your phone and a message comes in just before you're about to turn it off or go to bed, you might be like, oh, okay, I'll just respond to that one. So we all kind of, we've created this culture of we've got to constantly be connected.
Yeah.
So to have an absence of that is just really refreshing, I think. I think this has kind of been challenging that attitude,
definitely,
hasn't it? The attitude of constantly, you know, we've got to do this today.
But like today, for example, we've printed out all these maps and we hit the 10th page of our maps.
Of 22?
Yeah. And that felt like a really big achievement. But then I was sort of thinking, actually, it's not really about that, isn't it? It shouldn't be about how fast we walk or how quickly we can achieve this. It's actually about just enjoying the journey and enjoying the slowness of the journey and having time to, like this morning when we just found that community garden in that village and just wandered into it and spent, I don't know, 15 minutes sitting by the stream, and things like that I think have been so special, the kind of the unexpected little gems that we've found hidden away in this beautiful countryside. And I really hope that in this next week, I'm really not focused on goals or achievements. I'm just focused on being.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, the 13th of August. Thomas, how are you doing?
Yeah, all right, thanks. We had a great campsite last night. It was kind of pretty much on the water in this glen. Really short grass. There was a fire pit that had been used before, so we could use that. Beautiful place to camp, wasn't it?
It really was. And we are walking through absolutely beautiful scenery right now. I'm just going to turn around. And in front of me right now, there's a viaduct that we've walked under, and mountains all around us. A huge, huge mountain off to our right with a really dramatic peak. I'm now going to turn back around, and we're walking towards another loch. Where I think we'll have lunch and soon after that try and find a place to camp. It's 7 in the morning on the 14th. I haven't really slept at all. How about you, Thomas?
I got a bit, I think, off and on. But it was probably the worst night.
Do you want to explain why?
We pitched the tent on a bit of an angle. Wanted to get up a slope to get a bit of wind so that the midges wouldn't be problematic. We ended up pitching the tent at sort of a 20-degree angle. And yeah, so when you're in here, you kind of slide to the other side.
It's just gone 1 p.m. and I'm recording this about maybe 100 feet underneath a cloud, which is quite a surreal experience. We've gained a fair bit of altitude and we're just looking out over this incredible glen surrounded by cloud. And it is absolutely beautiful, so peaceful up here. We haven't seen a single soul in maybe 2 hours, just us and the sheep, and we're just stopping here for some lunch. We think we passed the halfway point this morning, is that right, Thomas?
Yeah.
It's hard to know exactly, but we think we hit the halfway point of the hike as a whole. All right, it's the 15th of August. And we are just walking into Killin, which feels like quite a significant landmark on this pilgrimage to be arriving here. So we're going to have some lunch in Killin, and we're also going to buy some supplies. The next 4 days, we're not expecting to come across a shop. So this is our last kind of settlement, really, before we head into... It's the longest stretch, isn't it, on the whole pilgrimage, without a shop. So we're going to have to be buying, you know, food for that amount of time. Now, we also have a bit of a... Well, quite a big problem, potentially, emerging. Do you want to explain about that, Thomas?
So, obviously, water is essential to life, so I'm told. So for the first part of the pilgrimage, the first half before this, we've actually been using water purification tablets, because originally we were going to just buy bottled water, but because the shops are so infrequent and you can't carry that much, it's much more convenient to find a stream that looks pretty clear and then use these tablets, which don't make it taste, you know, funny. They're a slight chemical taste, but they just kill all the microbes, so that's been really good. But we had 50, and obviously each of us having sort of 2 litres a day at least, and now we're down to 8, which is only going to do a couple of days. So I think we really need to buy new ones in Killin here before this 4-day stretch, because otherwise we'd be without water. So I think we don't leave here without purification tablets or some means of getting water. Would you agree?
Absolutely. So it is a bit of a concern.
Yeah.
I think maybe we made a bit of a mistake thinking that we should have brought more. But, you know, live and learn. So we're literally just arriving into Killin now, and there is supposed to be a camping shop here. So let's see if we can get those tablets and continue this hike. Okay, here's Killin. The final episode in this 3-part series comes out in 2 weeks' time. Make sure you've subscribed to be the first to hear about it. God bless, and thank you for listening.